This is Mae Brussel, and this is part two of broadcast number 722, the program World Watchers. And as I explained at the beginning of the program, in case you missed it, if you want to send for information on the source of these articles that I use on this program, the sheet, the bibliography sheet, you can write to Mae Brussel, P.O. Box 22511, Carmel, California, 93922. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope. I'm not answering mail that doesn't have an envelope included. It just takes too much time. Education Secretary William J. Bennett said this past week that the Americans should push for public schools to teach civic and moral duties, that American children should know that they are morally superior to the Soviet Union. He prepared this speech for the Eagle Forum, their leadership conference. It's part of the New Right Education Lobby, founded by conservative activist Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis Schlafly and her husband are on the board of Technicolor, and they work closely with Patrick Frawley, the gentleman who conceived the idea to put Ronald Reagan into office and got the kitchen cabinet connected together. He also brought over Mr. Fred Schwartz for the World Anti-Communist Group. There was a convention in Dallas several weeks ago, the World Anti-Communist League, and Phyllis Schlafly and her sister are very active there. Her sister had an organization front, and they keep pushing for the morality while they have their headquarters and activities, many of them in Taiwan, the headquarters of organized crime, the Asian mobs, the heroin and cocaine traffic, and the drug traffic from Southeast Asia, part of the Kuomintang and the Laotian tribesmen that work with our intelligence community, and they push this moral thing that we're morally superior to a country that doesn't deal or sell narcotics that is affecting our entire world. The moral vision that Mr. Bennett has is one against the Soviet Union, and as I say, he wants, as a professor, head of the education department, to teach the moral difference between the United States and the Soviet Union. He might look up in March 1977, March 18th, there was an arrest in Dallas, Texas, of General Walker, resigned Army Major General Edwin A. Walker, a former lecturer of the John Birch Society, a friend of all the people behind Mr. Bennett, who was arrested for a second time because there were charges of fondling plainclothes officers in park restroom. That was the second time he'd been arrested on a charge of homosexual advances in laboratories to gentlemen, not children, but gentlemen in Dallas, Texas. And this had been a second arrest for public lewdness. That is General Walker. There's nothing that these people comment upon, those kinds of associations or the relationships. Even when Ronald Reagan was governor, there was a homosexual circle in the Capitol building exposed right in the middle and around him. But those parts these people don't refer to, and they always have this cloak that we're morally superior to the Soviets. That's the main target. Among their crowd that they're so loyal to is Paul Eckstein. He's been involved with a lot of allegations coming out of a particular newspaper, the McClatchy newspaper, out of Sacramento, the Sacramento Bee, the Modesto Bee in Fresno. They ran stories of his links to a place in Nevada, Ormsby House Casino in Carson City, Nevada, and claimed that skimming money from the gambling tables, the losses of these poor dogs that go up there and bet away their money, was going to Laxalt and his family between 1972 and 1976. So Laxalt is the right-hand man of the current president of the United States. He was pushed to be president someday by the Howard Hughes organization. And Laxalt is no virgin, being the governor of Nevada and representing them as a senator. You know what goes on there. There's one article out of the Sacramento Bee listed 57 people who want to help Paul Laxalt in his suit. And I just bring this up because of Mr. Bennett's morality and how moral we are. Some of the defendants included Irwin Molaski of Las Vegas, a television producer, and executive Merv Adelson of Los Angeles, co-owners of La Costa with Mo Dalitz. Dalitz law enforcement officials have identified as being a top organized crime figure. This is published in the newspaper identifying Dalitz as that. Dalitz lived in Las Vegas and was close to Robert Mayhew when Mayhew set up the assassination teams with John Rosselli and Sam Giacano, who played a role in the murder of John Kennedy. And Jack Ruby was close to that gang in Vegas, the people that were also going to be have a fringe part in the murder of the President of the United States. That's morality in America. They also produce these people mentioned here, Mr. Adelson and Mr. Mulaski, produced the television movie Dallas. And you remember on the 20th anniversary of one, when John Kennedy was murdered, the big thing was, who shot JR? Who shot JR? And the diversion went, you know, in Dallas, who shot? And there was this double entente about the murder of John Kennedy. Well, Mo Dallas's partners from La Costa produce the television series Dallas, in case you wonder if the world is coincidences or not. And I don't believe half of it is. Among the contributors to Paul Axalt's funds, they mentioned Donald Trump, the owner of the United States Football League in New Jersey, the New Jersey Generals, and Atlantic City Casino, and his father, Fred Trump. The attorney for them is Roy Cohn, who is on the board of Western Goals and who's been named in the Torbett document and his role in his corporation, the Lionel Corporation, that he represented in the role of murdering John Kennedy. Roy Cohn is listed in the Sacramento Bee as being one of the people contributing to Paul Axalt, and Henry Salvatore and Holmes Tuttle. Those are two of the early kitchen cabinets behind the career of Ronald Reagan, and Joseph Coor, the financier of the far, far right and the morality, the moral people, the Schlafly's and the Mr. Bennett and the organizations of the far right. They are pushing for the governor of Nevada, of all places. Speaking of the double-barreled edge of the drug dealing, the sadomasochism of Mr. Alfred Bloomingdale, and he's not the only one. The whole administration is mafia. It's Vatican connected to the worst elements, not those bishops that are crying about poverty in America, but the worst elements. And one of the people that put up money for Paul Axalt for his defense is Roger Milliken, who was on the board of Western Goals with Edward Teller, the hydrogen bomb, the Star Wars daddy, and partner of J. Peter Grace, the one who brought Otto Ambrose and the scientists from Auschwitz, the fatal chemicals, gases that they manufactured by Mr. Ambrose, the chemist, partner, and brought here by Milliken and Grace. They're putting up money for Paul Axalt's defense. And Ivan Boesky, a New York arbitrator, and Ivan Boesky's on the board of the Wiesenthal Center. This is a nice group of very moral people who are representing a man who has worked with the hardest mafia, mob, sinister people that can rule the world, and they are the backbone of the Ronald Reagan administration. The Howard Hughes Organization was the one that handpicked Paul Axalt to have a major part in the government of the United States and also hopefully to be president someday. Now, if we're so moral, why are we building this $5 billion protection plan for the United States embassies? If we're so hated, why don't we go home? The New York Times has this story, September 29th. The State Department has proposed a five-year, $5 billion program to overhaul the security of our embassies and to counter Soviet bloc espionage overseas. Now, the proposal was made by Admiral Bobby Inman. He was the head of the National Security Agency. He was deputy director of the CIA. He's one of the most dangerous men in America, with his multi-computer in Texas. And they're keeping track of every person or everything that you need to know about citizens around the world. And it's his idea to put this in. What I think it is in quotes, to protect our embassies, and therefore our people won't be hurt. I think we allowed some to be hurt, just as the CIA manual says, kill some of your own for particular political purposes and provocative acts, and then it would be a spy agency in every country that would allow us to continue spying on liberals, on newspaper publishers, and keeping tracks of people around the world, and you could turn them into Interpol. This $5 billion for agencies is absolutely ridiculous. They're already built, and if they don't like us, they could do half their work by telephone and get home, but it gives you a spying system in every country under the justification of we're being attacked. Another ridiculous amount of money was proposed in July of this year in front of the White House. A House subcommittee voted Thursday to give the east front of the Capitol building $8.4 million security facelift to protect it against terrorists. They want to take away 326 spaces for cars to be parked. Among the security features of the plans are two 30-inch curved steel blades that are raised hydraulically from their hiding place in the ground at the main north and south entrances to the Capitol. We're becoming like an armed camp. There's a warfare going on, and it's going to escalate. When you get steel blades in front of the White House and 50 you know, billions of dollars, not 50, $5 million in front of the White House, $8.4 million plaza, rather, and you get this huge amount for the overseas embassies. That's the $5 billion plan. It's horrendous because we're thinking in terms of how can we secure ourselves from the enemy, not what are we doing wrong that they dislike us. It would cost about $100 to sit down and figure out what we're doing wrong. If you were walking along the newsstands of the grocery markets, liquor stores, and magazine stands, you probably saw the National Enquirer and the Star and all the papers, the story of Miss America. We finally got a Miss America. You got a black woman who was naked, so you had to take her crown away. But now you got a white woman from Mississippi. And the story goes on that Susan Akin, A-K-I-N, her father and her grandfather were arrested in cold-blooded murders of three civil rights workers in Philadelphia, Mississippi in 1964. Their murders were planned and the gasoline cars were filled up at her father's parking, mobile home park. The grandfather couldn't go along with him because the FBI said that an officer of the Klan never gets blood on their hands. This is similar to the American hit machines when you hire the Giaconas and the Rosellis to do the murders and Mayhew's hands don't drip. And Richard Nixon's, but on down, the lowers do it. It's the same system. So on that night, the team went out, shot three men, buried him, dug up the car. Grandpa got off. Daddy was indicted. He got off. The jury said he was okay. I believe that they knew, see, they knew this all along, and she knew it. And I believe they waited until she got the crown and then said, oh, yeah, and made the Klan respectable. In other words, this wasn't supposed to be a smear like Miss Williams being seen naked. This was supposed to be, we're all American, and she's a Klan, and her daddy and granddaddy's killed three civil rights leaders, and that's what we are. Here we are. And I think they're proud of it, and I think it's a precedent. You don't take a crown away because they were the Klan, but they went to every length to make sure there were no more scandals involved with these particular people, and the powers that be all knew this background, and were proud to have her as Miss America, build her up for it, to show that you can be a Klan and be beautiful and talented, and that this is just part of the way of life of living in America. Now I want to talk about a process known as the elections in this country and some very serious things that are taking place. First is an article in Los Angeles Times, May 13th, let's get rid of the third term ban. Now the President of the United States was asked recently at Camp David, somewhere near there, about he's too old now to have a third term, but should they have it? And he said yes, which is tantamount to having a dictatorship. At once he wanted a six-year term with no re-election, rewriting the Constitution. The first draft to rewrite it that was done in Santa Barbara was a six-year term with no re-election. Now they say let him go on forever, so that what you have is a Mr. Pinochet, or you have, like in Taiwan, the Chang family, and then it goes on to the son, and the Shah of Iran's son is ready to return. You really have a monarchy, and they want a third term. But who wants it? The article is written by Frank Mankiewicz, described as executive vice president of Gray & Company, a Washington public relations firm. Mankiewicz was a Democrat who was supposed to be a friend of John F. Kennedy, who, when his head was blown up, like all the others, shut his mouth, went to the staunch conservatives and the Central Intelligence Agency group, people centering around him, and Larry O'Brien and Tom Brady's wife works for them, for Gray, and it's a real fascist CIA organization. It was a takeover from the Mullen Incorporated that was exposed at the time of Watergate. So Mankiewicz, the former Democrat, whatever he calls himself, just as Gene Kirkpatrick was a Democrat, wants a third term, and he works for Gray, and this is his opinion of the way the Constitution, I suppose, if you have a convention to get a budget that isn't going to go up to $3 trillion, then at that time you make possible that Kissinger be elected. He's very, very close to Robert Keith Gray. He was his boss over Task Force 157, and then you get a president that's in forever, and that could be even Kissinger, who'd stay on forever. Another article about the electoral process was San Francisco Chronicle this past week, September 25th. Probe of election computers by National Security Agency. Now, this is one of my pet peeves, and this is why it's so important to take note of this particular article and subject. I think we should go back to hand voting by hand, one by one. This country is gone. There never will be an election the way the voting process and machines are going. And if you don't know that, then go through the exercise, but you're kidding yourself. This article says a branch of the National Security Agency, that's the same group that Bobby Inman used to be the head of, is investigating whether a computer program that counted more than one-third of the nation's votes in 1984 is vulnerable to fraudulent manipulation. Well, you bet it is. The target of the agency's investigation is the vote counting program of Computer Election Systems of Berkeley, California, the dominant company in the manufacture and sale of computer voting apparatus. In 1984, the company's program and related equipment were used in more than 1,000 county and local jurisdictions to collect 34 million votes of the 93 million in the United States. The National Security Agency is the world's largest and most secretive intelligence agency that collects information and eavesdropping on electronic communications around the world. This is the agency that Bobby Inman headed, who wants that $5 billion for the embassies around the world, $5 billion safety, and they'd use their computers. That would be their safety, to know who's a threat to particular countries. Now, the idea for the National Security Agency to investigate the voting machines was put into power by Ronald Reagan September 17, 1984. The National Security Agency's Computer Security Center was set up 3 years ago to improve the security of computers and give a broader mandate for was taken to go into the electoral process. They were supposed to check military service, but now they've done more. Representative Dan Glickman, he's from Kansas, told the House Science and Technology Subcommittee that held hearings on the role of the Computer Security Center that he has serious reservations about the Defense Department agency, the Defense Department, being the center and being involved in the computer system that handles sensitive civilian matters like elections. Some of you may want to write, and I'm going to Dan Glickman. He's from Kansas, a Democrat from Kansas, and they're having hearings now. The computer system, he said, used by the counties to collect and process votes has nothing to do with national security. And I'm really concerned about the National Security Agency involvement, said Glickman. Now, national security was the excuse that Jack Anderson just cited for scientists not being able to see information on AIDS. And national security, make our nation secure, because you don't know and Congress doesn't know what it needs. And remember what the National Security Agency said when they were going to fund the Contras, when Congress said the CIA shouldn't do it. They said, Congress doesn't know what's going on. We know. We're the National Security Agency. Now, the investigation began because of lawsuits in Indiana, West Virginia, Maryland, and Florida that have challenged the election results processed by their computers. And I really believe that we should go into that hand punching. Once the National Security Agency goes into the computer system and makes it a matter of defense, and in quotes, national security, you're really in trouble. Now, as far as elections go, George Bush came out just this week. Bush defends fundamentalists in politics. He received an honorary degree at the Episcopal Church's University of the South in Tennessee, and he defended attempts by fundamentalist Christians to influence American politics. He cited the American Revolution in the 18th century and how the church influenced reforms in education, prison, mental hospitals, child labor laws in the past two centuries. He doesn't say how the church has influenced reforms in El Salvador, Guatemala, Philippines, South Korea, Taiwan, or Iran when we had the Shah there, the countries that we've put into power. And all those Christians and Catholics and trained in the United States, how Christianity affected those people, how you go into Chile, and how does Mr. Pinochet's Christianity affect prison, mental health, education, and child labor. And he defends it that a Christian minister can become president. Jesse Jackson wants to be a president, and he said, why, if he runs for president, why shouldn't a minister? Well, Mr. Pat Robertson, as you know, is running, wants to run for president, and his $22 million Christian broadcasting network has been funding the Contras, has been funding death squads, works with the Somozan Army, is against land reform. Pat Robertson, the roommate of J. Peter Grace at Yale, has associations to the entire Grace operation, and of course, Grace and his friend partner Roger Milliken are the people that brought Otto Ambrose to this country, the chemist for Adolf Hitler who designed Zyklon B for extermination. Extermination by AIDS or extermination by Zyklon B, there's no difference. If the government and the Defense Department are in a chemical war against people and genocides against particular people, the Japanese army experiments that I cited earlier are directly linked to these people running for office as presidential nominees, to George Bush's relationship to fascism, to Pat Robertson's relationship to fascism. They're into biological warfare. They're into genocide. And that's the difference. I think Jesse Jackson wants a fair shake for a lot of people. And I don't think at this point or if ever he is against jobs or housing or prison programs and so forth. Now, getting back or continuing with the elections and getting back to Mr. Farrakhan, who I have cited as being brought in and funded to break up the Democratic Party, to split the blacks against Mr. Mondale in the last elections. If that was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till the next elections. The Democrats don't have a chance. No matter if Bush wants Pat Robertson as vice president, he's got him. If he wants Falwell, he's got him. There's no Democratic Party. No, the Democrats had anybody. The National Security Agency runs the computers for the electoral process. It's all over. You can just study it academically, like you take a corpse and you do an autopsy. Some people say, why do you continue this work? Well, I'm doing an autopsy now, but the electoral process is for all purposes over. Now, there's a story in the LA Times, two stories the same day. And interestingly enough, I don't even know if the people who wrote them consult with each other. One is white nationalist leader said he had contacts with Farrakhan. This is by Judith Cummings, saying October the 2nd, printed in the New York Times October the 3rd, but cited the day of the 2nd. The former head of the Ku Klux Klan in California headed a white nationalist delegation that went to see Louis Farrakhan in Los Angeles. The former Klan leader, Thomas Metzger of San Diego, said he and members of his organization were invited by Farrakhan and that he contributed $100 to Farrakhan's cause. I'm sure there was a lot more. Metzger is now the head of the White People's Political Association, a white nationalist organization. And it tells about his close simpatico relationships with Mr. Farrakhan. That's Mr. Metzger of the Nazi Party. Now, the same day, in the same newspaper, by Wayne King, is a story, Nazis share their gains from crime with groups. And last week I mentioned some of the people who are recipients of the money of the Ukiah Bank robbery and another robbery. They're not charged. The people who got the money aren't even charged with the crime. The men who broke the bank are being charged. But the people whose pockets it's in, like Richard Butler of Aryan Nations, and I mentioned members of the Klan and how they bought computers with their money. Well, the New York Times has a story. It's October the 3rd. It was printed. The recipients of the money included two interesting people in particular. $250,000 went to a former California Klansman, Thomas Metzger, and $50,000 went to William Pierce in Washington, D.C., and $40,000 to Richard Butler. Now, Butler is a scientist from Lockheed who worked on the U2 project with Thane Caesar. Thane Caesar is the man who killed Robert Kennedy. William Pierce took over the Nazi Party for Mr. Rockwell, and he got a hunk of this money, $50,000, and writes the Turner Diary on how to kill all Jews and blacks. And Mr. Metzger was the recipient also of money, $250,000 from the bank robbery, and that's the Mr. Metzger that's at the meeting at the invitation of Mr. Farrakhan in Los Angeles. Now, to fit in with Mr. Farrakhan getting money from the National Nazi Klan organization that gets their money, some of it through, well, we know there's secret money under the table, but some just from overt bank robberies. Other money is coming to Mr. Gaddafi, who also handed Mr. Farrakhan interest-free. The allegation, it's $5 million for sure, and there's been some articles up to $30 million. This is a story from the Wall Street Journal on Gaddafi building a bridge, it's called a Great Man-Made River, a gap between water sources and the dry desert around Gaddafi. He has an ambitious project to bring gallons of water from wells under the Sahara Desert 350 miles to the Mediterranean coast, where the water will be piped up and down the coastline to make a barren land bloom with crops and to quench the thirst of Libya's metropolitan area. Now, that is great. I'm not fighting that, and that's what Israel did. And they want to bring in from the Sahara, under the Sahara, which always had a green belt. Under Nigeria, there always was a group where Frenchmen were growing things and the black were dying and starving from the drought. this water would be brought up. The cost of the project is going to be $25 billion. The first stage of work will be done by South Korea, but the man behind the planning of it and helping the manager of this project for Gaddafi is, according to the Wall Street Journal, is the Houston-based construction giant Brown & Root. Another American firm, Price Brothers of Dayton, Ohio, will help them, a subsidiary of Halliburton. Now, Brown & Root is the organization that hired George de Morenschild. He worked for them, and they were very much part of the CIA, the Defense Department. They had most of the cement contracts for Vietnam War and have built all over the world. Brown & Root is directly involved with the intelligence community. George de Morenschild received his money from Brown & Root, a lot of it, and he was the mentor of Lee Harvey Oswald. It was the activity of de Morenschild and Brown & Root and Paula Salt's gang also, all combined, and Roy Cohn's, that overthrew this country and put it in the sense of a coup in 1963 when John Kennedy was killed. So it is natural that Brown & Root would be funding Gaddafi, and then some of that money may not go to the water. It may go from Gaddafi to Farrakhan, who's working with the Nazis, because I mentioned before that John Connolly from Permandex, who worked with Roy Cohn, and get all these circles coming together, Cohn with Laxalt helping with his defense. Permandex had John Connolly, and John Connolly is directly linked to Richard Butler and the Aryan Nations in the Nazi Klan network, of which Mr. Metzger is a part of. He gets bank robbery money that goes in his pocket. He's visiting Farrakhan. Connolly's name is on tapes involving the Klan and the Nazis that were to take over Dominica, the island of Dominica, and they're involved with the Klan and Nazis and Aryan Nation up in Idaho. So the same people that overthrew this country in 1963 are wiping out the Democratic Party by splitting its guts wide open ever since. People like Mankiewicz worked for Gray and Tom Brady, and Larry O'Brien for the Hughes Organization. The party was sucked up, bought out, sold out, slivered up to pieces, and that is the end of the Democratic Party. And in fact, John Connolly was a Democrat until Nixon came in. Democrats for Nixon, like Gene Kirkpatrick. There's a story in the Executive Intelligence Review of the connections of Richard Butler to Gaddafi. This is titled Libyan Interface with U.S. Neo-Nazis, making it not only Farrakhan, that cycle of Farrakhan and Metzger and Brown and Root to Libya, but Libya to Richard Butler, and you get a whole cycle. As we keep saying, David Emery and I, what goes around comes around. This says the Islamic fundamentalist Al-Mahalla recently ran pictures of Richard Butler of the Aryan Nation and robed members of the Ku Klux Klan, those are the Metzger gang, with an accompanying caption, American Friendly Fortress. A short article reported on the philosophy of these groups and noted that the Aryan Nations and the Klan concurred in Islamic fundamentalism. And remember, Gaddafi was trained as a young person, still just very young and in the army, by Mr. Otto Skorzeny, who was training with the top Nazis for South Africa and the Middle East when the war was over. This article, a short article report on the philosophy of these groups and noted the Aryan Nations and the Klan concurred with Islamic fundamentalism and that the Israelis are occupying Palestine. Sources say that Richard Butler's organization is receiving Libyan money and as well as the bank robbery money, and that there is an interface between the Iranians and the white supremacist survivalist network in the United States. On the left side of the Libyan operation is the EAFORD, E-A-F-O-R-D, the International Organization for the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, founded in Tripoli in 1979. It's a network of anthropologists, scientists, and left-wing organizations working with Gaddafi. Abdallah Sharafeddin, a Libyan nationalist who is the international president, lives in Houston, Texas. According to intelligence sources, EAFORD is above-ground umbrella operation that works with the Libyan terrorist operations in Houston, Texas, in Dallas, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, Toronto, and Montreal. They have a network of activities that support Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. They sponsor speaking engagements. Farrakhan is said to have received $30 million from his trip to Libya. On the surface, it was $5 million. and he's going to buy land in southern United States for an independent black nation. Well, the time is running out, but the electoral process, I bring that up because it was divided at the last election. Democrats didn't have a chance anyway, and I don't, as I say, don't think the computers work. But it's over. All you can do is just study the pieces. Well, I have a lot more to share with you, a lot more, of course, but we can't stretch that hour. Unfortunately, that's a tight gap. That limit is, those 60 minutes can't be stretched. That's not fair. So we got to stop now. But I'll continue with this and a lot more that relates to it next week. Thank you for sending me so many articles. I'm getting some wonderful material from all around the country. I really appreciate that. Again, I want to thank you. This is Mae Bressel, and I'll be back with you next week.